This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
Last couple of weeks ago, I taught on Mount Calvary, which led into part of Passover. But I'm going to be continuing on that Passover this time. And Passover is a feast for the Lord. And Christ became our Passover at Calvary. The purpose of Passover was for the Israelites to protect their firstborns when a death angel passed over and saw the blood of the lambs. It was actually just so the death angel would pass over them, and that's where he got his name from, passing over. But we will start in Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to do a couple of things here with it. Wish some more people were here to get in on this, because all of this looks forward to the New Testament and what Christ has done for us. All of these feasts, everything that's done in the Old Testament is just a foreshadow of what was to come. But we will look at Exodus chapter 12. Verse 11 first. Talking about eating the Passover, they would have set aside a lamb or a goat without blemish and without spot, sacrifice it. Burn it up, not actually sacrificing for covering of sin. This is the Lord's Passover. Sacrificing to burn it up and eating the Passover meal. And what followed that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the unleavened bread symbolized a life without sin. He said, make it with haste. The reason why they did unleavened bread is because he said, get out of here. Make haste with it. If they added leaven, they would have to wait for it to rise. So they said they had to make unleavened bread so they could get on out of there. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread came about after the Lord's Passover. After the Passover is a symbol of making haste, because when you'll see as I read further on that when they add leaven, they had to wait for it to rise. Unleavened bread, they could make it, they could pound it, they could get it, it would be there, and they would leave. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasted 7 days, and I'll cover that in a minute. But verse 11. And you shall eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet, that your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man, beast, and against all gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment, and I am the Lord, the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where we are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This day, verse 14, shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast throughout to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Okay, now we're going to flip to Leviticus. But let me read a little bit of this here. The Passover meal, commemorates the deliverance of the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. The Lord sent Moses to lead the children from the promised land and to the promised land. Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples, the last Passover, saying that he eagerly desired to eat the Passover with them, and he suffered before he suffered. So I'll get to that verse in a minute. But if we look to Leviticus chapter 23, we'll see a big difference here in sacrifices for sin, sacrifices for atonement, or the Lord's, where he said, these feasts are mine. The feasts that they keep, there's three major ones. But Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel concerning the feasts, plural, of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a rest. He's instituting the Sabbath here. You shall do no work therein, and it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The Sabbath was for the Jews. It was not for the church, the local New Testament church. Okay, verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. The holy convocations is the three major ones where they would all gather, but a holy convocation is when they're all to honor it. Like this morning we're in here, when the church comes together in here, this is a holy convocation, a gathering of a local assembly, a gathering of the people. We're meeting here for a purpose, to worship the Lord. We worship the Lord in our own homes and all, but on Sundays we have a holy convocation meeting here as a group. Okay, these feasts, let's go back to verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you should proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, it is at evening, it is the Lord's Passover. So that's April the 14th. That was set up in Exodus. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Okay, that, like I said, that was, that symbolizes eating the unleavened bread for 7 days is for what we look at now is a holy walk after salvation. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But the unleavened bread that they ate for 7 days, they had to make it in haste. And he ordained that feast of 7 days of unleavened bread, commemorating them exiting in haste. Okay, we're going to keep reading here. And we're going to tie this into the New Testament here in a minute. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no severe work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. The seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no service work, severe work within. Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest, then ye shall bring in a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Okay, what we're going to do here is we're going to jump ahead here a little bit. What they would do when they would go out there, it was time of the harvest for the barley and for the wheat. They would get out there and they would bundle together a bundle of wheat in the field. It was the very first one. Outside of what they harvested, it would be bundled right there. And they would have, and this is symbolizing Christ as being the first risen from the dead, and I'll show you that in a minute. But they were ordered to take the first fruits, give it to the priest before anything was done to it. It was the first thing that was picked, the first thing that was ripe, the first thing that was gone, and they would wave it before the priest, before God, the priest would. The wave loaf was different. This is after it was put leaven in it and after it was made the loaf, but we'll show you that here in a minute. Verse 11, or let's go back to 10. Speak to the children of Israel. Now, this is all tied into Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. All three of these feasts are tied in together. When ye shall come into the land which I shall give you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. And tomorrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf a he-lamb without blemish the first year for the burnt offering to the Lord. The meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal and fine meal flour mingled with oil, offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering shall be wine of the fourth part of a hin. Ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto the Lord, to your God. It shall be a statute for you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And here's, okay, what they would do then is after they would do that, I'm going to get into the New Testament here in a second. I know this sounds confusing, but let's back up a little bit. The feast of Jehovah, the feast of Jehovah are given to Israel. They were used simply seven great feasts and festivals which are observed every year. The first three verses of Leviticus 23 do not relate to the feast, but separate Sabbath days feast. The Passover as a feast is a memorial that brings into view redemption upon which all blessings flow. Typically, it stands for Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Then I'll start jumping back and forth to the New Testament. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What that Passover looked forward to, it's the feast and the memorial that brings into view redemption. I'm in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Let me jump to it. Page is sticking. Verse 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one, that he's talking about someone ungodly in a church. Let's go to verse 6. Your glowing is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little bit of sin will leaven your whole body, and it ruins your whole life. Without that, with a little leaven, with a little sin in your life, the Bible says, don't you know that a little leaven corrupts your whole body? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven. That's the law. With those things of the law we can't do. Or we couldn't do. They couldn't do it. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread sanctified with truth. I write unto you the epistle not to keep company with fornicators. But the verse I wanted to get to here is that Christ became our Passover, where they would have to kill a lamb, kill a goat, eat a Passover, have 7 days of unleavened bread. When Christ was sacrificed on the cross, he was sacrificed as our Passover. And when his blood was presented to God and presented for us, that blood was presented once for all, and now we don't have to sacrifice animals. And we don't have to put blood on doorsteps. We don't have to put blood on doorposts. Christ's blood was shed for us. And when we accept that, that's what God sees in our life. But when he's talking to the Jews, let us keep the feast without the old leaven, without the old law. Look, we're going to still keep the feast, but now we're going to use, now we've got Jesus Christ and his blood and his righteousness on our lives. Okay. And ye shall count unto you, this is verse, we're going back to Leviticus here, chapter 23. Okay. After, this is where I'm going to flip back and forth to Pentecost here. After the priest took the first fruit offering from the field and waved it before the, this is really cool if you can follow it. And waved it before God, and God accepted it. Exactly, he commanded 50 days after the first fruit was brought to God, then do the wave loaf. Let's look at verse 10, and I'll explain it. Even tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath, seven Sabbaths, seven times seven, 7 weeks is 49, okay? After 49 days, then on the 50 days, ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of 2 tenths deal, and they shall be a fine flour, and they shall be a bacon with leaven, and they are first fruits unto the Lord. What that symbolizes is after a person becomes Christ, after Christ died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, then they brought in the New Testament church, then we as Christians, as we believe, we got leaven in our lives. There's nothing we can do about it. Christ had no leaven. The first fruit offering was a symbol of Christ being waved to God from the field with plain, just pure, nothing. The wave loaf had been beaten with flour, beaten with meal, beaten with everything, and it's a symbol of us as people, and once we accept Christ as our Savior, We now are part of the church, but we've got leaven in our lives. Okay, so we're going to go to let's see, where am I at? Okay, let me read this. Unleavened bread is a symbol of Passover. Leaven represents sin. Unleavened bread is a picture. I'm confused here. Hold on. I've lost my place. Okay, here we are. People offered the first ripe sheaf of fruits of barley to the Lord as an act of dedicating the harvest to Him. On Passover, they marked the sheaf of grain that was bundled left standing in the field. On the next day, the first day of unleavened bread, the sheaf was cut and prepared for an offering on the third day. And on this day, third day, the priest waved before the sheaf before the Lord, counting the days, and begins and continues into the day of the seventh Sabbath, the 50th day, which is Shavuot or Pentecost. Now I wanted to get to my scripture here. We'll do two scriptures here. Luke chapter 22. Let's go there first. It may sound confusing to some at first. I think I've got this verse right. Let's see, Luke 22. Okay, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called Passover. Chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him for the fear of the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the twelve. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how they might betray him. And they were glad and covenanted with him for money. He promised and sought an opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, which the Passover must be killed. Okay, here they are. They're getting the Passover. It's Passover. Christ was killed on Passover. So Christ became our Passover. Jesus Christ himself became our Passover. It sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, where shall we, wilt thou be prepared? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Okay, the point, let me get ahead there. Let's go to verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him and said unto them, with desire I've decided to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, before I go to the cross. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood which is shed for you. Okay. So let's go to John chapter 6. And then we'll get into Acts and show you how that fits in. John chapter 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, 6:32, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. He's trying to explain to them, okay, Moses gave you manna. Y'all had unleavened bread to eat. Y'all wandered in the wilderness with manna for years. But my Father gave you the true bread. Moses gave you that bread from heaven. My Father gave you the true bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Then he said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that Ye have not seen me and believe not. Ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I am come down from heaven not to do my will, but that the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all he hath given me I should not lose nothing, but raise it up in the last day. Okay. Let's flip over here to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Okay, going back to where I just talked about them waving the first fruit offering to the police, to the priests out of the field. The first fruit offering is a symbol of Jesus Christ coming up out of the grave, being the first to rise from the dead. Okay. The wave loaf offering is a symbol of the church and the Holy Ghost, because it was exactly after they were instructed, exactly. This is how they still celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. It's exactly after the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruit, exactly 50 days later, they still celebrate Pentecost. But here's what happened here. After Christ was crucified and after he rose again, when he came out of that grave and he came in and he showed himself alive for so many days, after he ascended to God, he became the first fruits from the dead. Okay? That became the wave loaf or the wave sheaf. Okay, let's read, Let's read chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, now keep in mind, the day of Pentecost, they were already there celebrating Pentecost. They had celebrated Passover. They had celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had just celebrated the Feast of the First Fruit, waving the first fruits from the field before God. They were there still practicing this. And it was exactly 50 days later, just like it always has, 50 days after the wave loaf offering was Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now they're still celebrating Pentecost today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon them voices. And I wrote that in. That's not in the script. I wrote the sound there. The sound of the wind was, I wrote in my Bible. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now, and how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. The point I was bringing out is this was exactly 50 days after the ascension of Christ. Exactly 50 days. And so they were all there. It was a convocation of people gathering together to celebrate Feast of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came and poured out. And this is actually the beginning of the New Testament church. Okay, are they not all the Galileans? And then, verse 9. Parinthians and Medes and Elamines and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus Asia, Pygeria, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, round about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues, and wonderful works of God. Now, can you imagine being in a room We got Asians, Russians, Argentinas, Brazilians, Spaniards, Mexicans, every single tongue sitting here, and I'm sitting here preaching, and every single one of them, I don't know the language, they heard what I was preaching in their own language. And that's just saying, man, this don't make any sense. I'm understanding. And they watched that Holy Ghost just totally flood and fill that place. And it was a glorious thing. And it was actually, this happened on the day of Pentecost. And this feast goes back straight on back to Leviticus, straight on back to the Levitical law where he said, okay, the first fruit, okay, we already covered that. Christ was the first fruit from the dead. As in one man, sin came into this world, the man Adam. And one man was the first from the dead, sin was dealt with. And so, I might read that, if I can find it. Maybe not. I might have it written down, I'm not sure. I don't. But here they are, and so let's read the next verse. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and then were in doubt and saying one to another, what mean is this? Others mocking. These men now are full of new wine. They're thinking that everybody was drunk. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now the third hour, I've got that written down here somewhere. Well, anyway. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters, and ye shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above the signs, and beneath blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be darkened and turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great day, great and notable day of the Lord to come. Here's the verse I wanted to cover. Right here, because here it is right here. Before salvation was of the Jews, before the church had not been born. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, there you go, Calvinists, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation came into this world. And it started right there on the day of Pentecost. It was completely opened up to the Gentiles on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner. But that'll be a lesson for another day. All right, let me see if I can find. I've got two pages I'm missing. I'll just have to wing it. Okay. Let's see. There it is right there. Hang on, bear with me. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Show you one more thing about the Passover. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Okay. Verse 1, observe the month of Abib. Okay, this is going back to the law. Abib is the same thing as Nisan. Now, Nisan and Abib, see, the Jewish calendar runs different. They run on the new moon of the month. When God gave them specific directions to observe Passover on the 14th day of April, as time moved on, they are now governed to go by the new moon of the month. The new moon could be the last week of March or the first week of April. That's why their calendars are different than what we do. They go by new moons. So right here it's Abib. Now, Nisan came after the recapture in Nehemiah is when it was changed to Nisan, the name, but it's still the same month. Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, and Abib is the same month, April. Keep the Passover unto the Lord, for in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt that night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock, of the herd, in the place where the Lord shall choose and to place his name there. And thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. Shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. And that's why I kept covered earlier. The reason why unleavened bread is even ordained by God from then is because when he told them, you escape Egypt quickly. When the death angel passes over your home, you eat the Passover and make out with haste, bake you unleavened bread. You're going to be eating it 7 days. So it's because they didn't have time to wait for leaven to put in to rise, to make it rise. And so when they had to eat it, make it with haste, they still do that. They eat unleavened bread because it marks a time where God has passed, the death angel passed over the Israelites' firstborn and gave them unleavened bread to eat. That's why they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, so now we're going to finish up right here. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to backtrack some. Because the Day of Atonement is a sacrifice for sin. Most of the other ones are now throughout the year when people do something wrong, they're supposed to bring a sacrifice to the priest. The priest goes in and makes an atonement for them throughout the year. But a national Day of Atonement is in October. That's different than these feasts of the Lord. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. When they have their celebration, when they have their feast of Passover, when they have their feast of unleavened bread, their feast of first fruit, the feast of tabernacle, when they have these feasts, it's the Lord getting honored by it. It has nothing, it is for the Lord, for them to honor the Lord with their life. Okay. So let's review with this. Passover is, this feast is memorial that brings into view redemption, which upon all blessings rests. Typically, it stands for Christ, our Passover sacrificed for us. The Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of communion with Christ. The unleavened wave loaf in the full blessing of his redemption and a holy walk in the divine order here is beautiful. It commemorates the Feast of Unleavened Bread in our own life as a walk, once we accept Christ, as a walk with Christ, a walk after redemption. We accept Christ, and now we're to purge out the old leaven out of our lives and live as holy as we can, which is really extremely hard to do. None of us can do it. None of us can do it without the blood. That's why we're supposed to daily take up our cross and say, Lord, I failed you again. Lord, cover me with your blood. And then we can walk unleavened. The feast of, we are, once a person accepts Christ, we have a continual unleavened bread walk with Christ. We're supposed to have a sinless life, but we can't live sinless. That's why we have the blood. When we ask God to forgive us, he takes it away, he removes it, he covers us, and we have an unleavened life. Okay. So that's what this feast of unleavened bread for them are. It symbolizes a holy walk after redemption. The Feast of the First Fruit. This feast is typical of the resurrection. First to Christ, and then of them that are Christ after his coming. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a second. I want to cover this. All right, 1 Corinthians, here we go. My Hold on, guys. Okay. Let me find my verse. Verse 23. Nope, that's not what I wanted. I'm going to come back to that one. That's just talking about how once a person accepts Christ, how God puts different gifts into the body. That was for next time I'll teach the lesson. So I'm going to come back to Leviticus. I'm sorry. Okay, you got the Feast of the First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost. Okay, the wave loaves. The wave loaves were offered 50 days after the wave sheaf. This is precisely the period between the resurrection of Christ and the formation of the church. Okay, here's where I'm going to pick up here. The Feast of Trumpets, this feast is prophetical type, refers to the future regathering of long dispersed Israel. We're waiting for that now. The Feast of Trumpets, they still honor the Feast of Trumpets, but they don't know what they're honoring on this one. Then you had the Day of Atonement, and that's in October. So these are all the feasts. So let's back up here to Leviticus chapter 23, and let's go to verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, ye shall, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a feast memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. They get out there and they blow the trumpets and they call the entire nation in for this Day of Atonement. They're all governed. They all have to come there for this sacrifice. Here's in the old days, here's what people don't understand. There was two veils in the temple. The first veil, all the priests came in and took their and did the sacrificing and did the killing of the animals and did the burning of the sacrifice. And then the blood was taken in and given to a high priest, one high priest. There's a second veil. This second veil, it was 60 foot high, 30 foot wide, 4 inches thick. They put four horses on the quarters of that veil of that temple and tried to rend it, and they couldn't do it. And when they hung it in the temple, and we're not talking about here where they moved the tabernacle from time to time, I'm moving ahead in time to the temple. Although they had this veil then, only the high priest was allowed behind this veil. Now, when the temple was built, the 60 foot high veil was hung, he would come in, all these people would come in with their blood sacrifice, and they would sacrifice it in there, and the priest would take the blood, trembling, had a bell hung on his hip belt loop, and they had a rope tied around this guy's leg. And the high priest would go in, long as they could hear that bell ringing, they knew he was right, and God was going to accept that sacrifice. And the priest would tremble to the mercy seat and place that blood sacrifice up on that mercy seat and then step back and let God take it. And when God would accept that, he would come out, "It is done!" And they would holler from hill to hill, to mountain, and the whole nation of Israel rejoiced because God, for one more year, had covered their sin. When Christ died on the cross and shed his blood and came and presented his blood to God on that mercy seat in heaven, that veil of that temple, which couldn't be rendered by four horses quartered, just rent in half from top to bottom, that's God coming down. And you know these Jews tried to sew that thing back together and beg for the power of God to come back to that temple. Spirit was gone. There was no longer, law was done away with. And that was my point being that we've already covered is purging out the old leaven. Don't do the old leaven don't live with the old leaven that's done away with. Now we're under grace. Law was done away with and grace came in. And Christ, when he presented his own blood to that mercy seat, it opened up salvation for the entire world. And, so that's, let's go to Hebrews, and I'll finish with this. And I'll finish up with this. I covered a little bit of this last time, but I got to finish it. Hebrews. Yeah, here we are. Hebrews chapter 12. Okay. Wherefore, seeing we are so also compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, verse chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight and every sin, that's 11, everything that hinders us. Lay aside every sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set down before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, was set down at the right hand of the throne. Okay, I want to back up a little bit more. Okay, let's go to chapter 9. I'll get to that one in a minute. Okay, chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 11. But Christ, here's where I wanted to go just then. Christ, being come the high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, having obtained for us eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the pure in the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. And I'm going to have to finish up. So this right here did away with the high priest. Jesus Christ became the mediator between God and man. They can't accept that. They still don't accept that. They just cannot accept that a man born on this earth could come up and raise up and be the mediator between them and God. And I'm gonna have to close with this part of it. But I would like to break down, the only reason I'm teaching on the Passover, it's over him and about the Passover, because we're approaching the Passover season. 90% of the people in this world, some of them even in the church, do not understand what Easter is all about, folks. They have no idea what the resurrection is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brought salvation to this entire world. That started the New Testament church. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he ascended, he came and showed himself alive. When he ascended up 50 days later, the salvation was brought inside. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people think it's about the money bringing eggs and candy. Millions of people all over this world will wake up with the Easter bag and never teach their children what the resurrection is all about. And that's sad. You know, it's sad for them to get up and think that resurrection is about an Easter bunny.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.